And a good Friday morning to you. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and how timely is it that we're talking with Ascension Via Christi Hospital President Bob Koppel? It's his regularly scheduled day here on the show this month, and boy, it's just been a crazy, crazy week.
Yeah, certainly a lot going on.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here and sure. And maybe dispelling some myths a little bit about this virus. We're learning so much about it. Kind of on the fly, it seems like, here at the national world level. Before we get into that here, I know things are constantly changing here, and you guys have updated some of your visitation guidelines at the hospital.
Sure. Just actually, these are very similar to the changes we've made in prior years with major flu outbreaks, in that we're limiting both for inpatient and outpatient visits to visitors with you. Also screening not only the patient but also visitors with just some real basic questions around, have you had a fever? Do you have a cough, et cetera, just checking symptoms. And then also asking people, you know, this is probably not the time for anybody under the age of 14 to be visiting anybody in the hospital either. So asking people not to bring children. And this, again, is pretty consistent with, I think it was about 2 years ago during flu season, we'd had the same sort of kind of stepped up visitation policies.
Hmm. And, of course, we hear different things all the time. People who are older are generally more susceptible to this.
Yeah. So with COVID-19, I think the learnings so far have been that we definitely have an at-risk population. Those tend to be people who are 60 to 65 and older. And for the most part, those who have some sort of underlying significant health issue. So that can be a pulmonary issue, which is your lungs, cardiac issue, which is related to your heart, people who are diabetic, people who are immunocompromised, and specifically maybe perhaps somebody's had cancer in the past, and because of that, they're immunocompromised. So we've seen both, and a lot of this learning, quite honestly, is coming from the experience in European countries and in Asia, because we're really just kind of a couple weeks into this here in the United States. Although we actually have patients in the United States who have tested positive for coronavirus, have actually run the course of their impact from the virus and are now fine. And so we're starting, I think that will actually help with, I don't know, maybe creating some more valid data too, because you're actually going to have people who've been through it. And then you get a better sense of how this impacts certain individuals, or, you know, no different than we have with all of the other respiratory viruses that we're more familiar with. You kind of get to know this is the course of type A flu, or this is the course of this or that. So, I mean, I think all of that helps.
Well, you know, and the one thing I keep seeing here is we'll see, and now we're starting to see some high-profile people getting diagnosed with coronavirus, like Tom Hanks. We saw a couple of the NBA players as well. And when you first hear that in the news, you think, oh, God, death sentence, you know.
Yeah.
You think the worst because this is why we don't know a lot about this virus, but people do recover from it.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. I mean, actually, the vast, vast majority of folks don't even have any sort of significant impact to their health from this. And, you know, we have to keep in perspective. So like all other respiratory viruses, they kind of run their course and they're not selective on who gets them. And, yeah, I think with social media, et cetera, you kind of probably hear or see about the folks who are maybe high-profile actors, politicians, et cetera. I can guarantee you that some of those same people have had the flu in the last year or two. We just didn't hear about it. You know, it's not as newsworthy, if you will. But – you know, the approach that all of us should be taking always, actually, is to just practice good hygiene, make sure we're washing our hands. It's important. We have a lot of folks now with facial hair and long hair, and it's important always to not only wash your hands, but then not to touch your face, because that's how a lot of this is being transmitted for all of these respiratory viruses. So, I mean, just some things like that that are just good hygiene techniques that can certainly help.
And, we, of course, yesterday was kind of a phenomenal day. We saw a lot of things where social distancing was being encouraged at so many different levels here. Do you think that that will help mitigate some of this?
Actually, we know that it will because, again, we've got this prior experience with other viruses and then also just seeing how this has played out now in other countries around the world. Just creating space actually is a good way to, you know, we know that people won't transmit the flu or they won't transmit this or that. Same with COVID-19. I mean, I think people forget. So coronavirus actually has been around for a long, long time, just in different forms. Well, this is just a strain of coronavirus. some of the other strains are what cause the bulk of our common colds. And so it's not a new virus, it's a new strain. And again, it's just you've got to kind of just do the same things you would for all those others. For most of us, this will not be a significant health adventure. Some people won't even show symptoms. If you're a relatively healthy, middle-aged person, you may have a minor cold type feeling. And so that's why it's going to show up, I think, a little differently. We've seen very, very few pediatric cases across the world. And for whatever reason, the kids seem to have some immunity. And again, I think all of that will kind of play out, I think, as the more research is done as to maybe why that is. But yeah, I think kind of back to something you'd said, Brandon, this is not a time to have high levels of anxiety. It's just, well, let's stop. Let's think about what we're doing. Use some common sense. Use good personal hygiene. When people are ill or question that, they need to talk to their primary care provider. Because all of the – I should probably just address that. The screening process is that what's been set out is you have to flunk a flu test, which means you get a negative flu test. You have to get a negative respiratory panel test. Then we or any other provider in the state would actually call KDHE. You have to get permission to – because patients have to meet certain criteria that you would even get swabbed to be tested for COVID-19. And then it's a nasal swab. It's not invasive. It's not an invasive test at all. And then that's sent to KDHE in Topeka. They actually do the lab work, and it gets sent back. And so you really have to fail the screening, fail the flu test, fail the respiratory panel. There's a whole lot of things that a person has got to fail, if you will, before you're actually even going to be considered a candidate. And it's because there's so many other respiratory viruses that show up the same way. And so that's why you want to, eliminate all the easier ones, if you will. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's interesting. We're talking with Bob Koppel, president of the Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. All the cases we've seen in Kansas so far have been confirmed in Johnson County. Now, that doesn't mean that
So that's changing.
Oh, it's changing. Okay.
Yeah, I believe we have a positive down in Wichita now as well. Three of the five cases, I should say, in the Johnson County area, all were three people who went to a conference together in Florida a couple weeks ago. So I think they kind of see that as the source of that. There actually was a fatality yesterday in Wyandotte County. I think, again, there's maybe some question about pre-existing health conditions might have exacerbated that. I know the actual first patient, last I'd seen any reports, actually doing fine. Mm-hmm. And I think all the folks that had went to the conference, they're anticipated that they're going to also have more of a less, dramatic experience with this, and that they will most likely be fine too. So I think the reality is we're going to see a whole lot more testing done. We're going to see more positives. It will be interesting just to see how many more in our state. We'll just have to see how that kind of plays out.
If and when there is a case here in Riley County, would you say that we're prepared here to be able to do some testing here?
Oh, sure. So the Riley County Health Department actually is kind of on – this is a public health issue, so I'll kind of start with that. So the Riley County Public Health Department is kind of on point here. They've been meeting actually for the last several weeks. The Emergency Management Planning Group from the county is also involved with that. There's been meetings with local primary care providers, with EMS, fire, police, kind of all of the hospital, of course. So trying to coordinate all of those efforts between, all the different agencies and stuff. And, we have actually tested somebody. We just don't have the results yet. We're not at, quite honestly, well, I would almost be surprised if it's positive. But there's been a lot of, there's 40 or 50 now tests that here in the state that have been negative. And so it's just, you just kind of got to wait and again see kind of how this plays out. But as far as the ability, the planning, all of that is in place. As a community hospital, we actually have to drill every year for all these different events. And a lot of times people think about, you got to drill for mass casualties. Actually, in Kansas, most of our events are either weather related or something like that. So we do drills. We drill with our community partners for that. We actually drill with the fort for that as well. And so this kind of just becomes it's a different exercise topic, but you actually follow a lot of the same procedures that we would for any of our other drills where we have a mass influx of patients, if you will.
All right. We have a caller with a question. Let's get to them. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for all your efforts. It's my understanding that two of the deaths at the Seattle care home were RN nurses, and they're running the video of the physician's assistant in New York laying in his hospital bed with the Chinese virus. Right there across the street from you, you have the Roberts facility with the high-level tech testing centers that could run those kind of tests, as well as you could work with InBath if they just started up one of the labs, not the whole place, but just one of the labs to test also. Thank you for all your efforts.
All right, thank you for the call. You want to respond to that? Or?
Well, I mean, I guess a couple things I'd point out. This is actually not a Chinese virus. This is COVID-19. It's a coronavirus. It's endemic everywhere. It's possible, actually, you'd have this anywhere in the world. It's not specific to a country or geographic location. And then, you know, as far as the testing, actually, the Centers for CDC manages and mandates where the testing is done. I do think they're working actually with some private laboratories in the country that would then be doing some of the testing just to provide more capacity. And I would anticipate they will at some point, if there's a need, that large health system laboratories would be able to do that same testing. That's at this, again, at this point in Kansas, that's really not a concern, I don't think. KDHE can certainly manage the volumes we have. And then we have a teaching hospital in the state at KU. We've got large facilities both in Wichita and Kansas City that certainly would be capable of doing the testing if they needed to.
I think earlier this morning, and Bob, I don't know if you heard this, but we had Senator Tom Hawk on, and he talked about some Kansas scientists that have developed what they think is some sort of a breakthrough on dealing with COVID-19. So, you know, that's a real feather in the cap. You know, some K-Staters mm-hmm. are involved in that. And, you know, anybody that has the opportunity to do this kind of research is, honestly, I think that they're all fully engaged in trying to figure something out.
Yeah, it kind of flies under the radar. There's a lot of research that goes on at K-State, specifically around cardiology and oncology, cancer. And then the University of Kansas down in Lawrence does a lot of a lot of base level oncology research. There's half the chemotherapy drugs we have on the market today somewhere started out at a lab in KU. And so we actually do have a lot of work done in the state of Kansas around medical research. And again, I think it flies below the radar. Most people are not even aware of that.
Let's take a quick timeout. We'll come back much more with Bob Koppel when we return on In Focus News Radio KMAN.